Blog Talk Radio.
From the CMT Firestorm Studios in Tampa, Florida. I'm your host, Carcel Mathis, with a theme of the show is to give raw, uncut, and unedited objective analysis on major college and pro football. Let me introduce the panel first and foremost. Callie Mike, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Big week. Big week coming up, rivalry week. Let's get ready.
Chi-Town Mike, what's up?
What's going on, everybody? Like Callie Mike said, it's a big time rivalry this week, pretty much. To the end of college football, you know, for the regular season. So it's going to be, I mean, it's already interesting now, but it's going to get quite more interesting, you know, this coming weekend.
Okay, Big Tex, what's up?
What's going on, y'all? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I know you, everybody's ready to get that turkey, but, hey, we're about to get into some real intense talk right here. We will be here for the next 2 hours, so if you want to call in, you can at 347-237-5539, show CMT Firestorm. I'm your host, Carcel Mathis, with the panel here. A lot of stuff has happened this past weekend. The first and foremost, the biggest shock that happened in college football, the number one and the number two team lost, Kansas State and Oregon. We want to recap those games. We want to know what's your opinion of what happened to those two teams. Why did they lose? We can start with Kansas State. Let's go first with let me start with you, Tex. What's your opinion on what happened with Kansas State this weekend?
I think Kansas State, I think they're a good team, but I don't think, you know, they're on that level that everybody was thinking they were on. I think part of it might be playing in that conference that they're in that doesn't have that, that's, you know, kind of overrated most of the time. Nobody plays defense, nobody's hitting. I think that can kind of be a part of it. It's, you know, it's a conference that just, it continues to underachieve. So you have a situation where a team like Kansas State can come in and have a good year, and you know, it comes down to the come down, and they go to Baylor or, you know, wherever they go at the end of the year, and they get beat. Still a good team, but, you know, I hope people realize how, you know, everybody's always falling in love with a squad at the moment. Everybody lives in the moment. It's tough to go and win a national championship. It's tough. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not as easy as it looks. I mean, it's, you know, you have to have a team. You understand what I'm saying? You got to have a team. You need luck. I mean, you got to have so many things going right for you to get there. It is not easy.
All right, man. What's your opinion on that, Callie Mike?
I think it's just a bad matchup. Like I said, K-State's a good team. That's, you know, like I said, that's obvious. They're a good team. Baylor, I actually believe Baylor was underachieving the team this year. you know, you look at the games they were playing, they didn't, you know, you look at, look, you know, they have explosive offense, you know, and I'm looking at most of their scores right here. They done scored over, you know, 50 points, you know, four different times this year, scored over 40, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times this year. You know, they got, you know, so, I mean, you know, it came down to the matchups, you know, and pretty much, you know, Kansas State's defense wasn't up to the challenge to compete with these guys. So, you know, I mean, it was a matchup game. Like I said, they beat them. I mean, you know, it's only one undefeated team in the country this year. So, yeah, it is what it is.
All right. Okay, Chi-Town, what you think about what happened? You there, Chi-Town?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. I was waiting. I thought Mike was still talking. Then finish up. But yeah, I agree with Tex. I mean, it's hard, man, you know. I mean, I guess K-State, I really didn't be honest with you. I hadn't really seen much of them. Just seen highlights. They just, you know, it was one of those any given Saturdays. And they went up against the team, you know, that night. I was just better than them that night. You know, it's,
yeah, I mean,
like we've been hearing this, you know, for years, that, you know, to set all this stuff of who's the best team and, you know, going undefeated, it has to be a playoff, man. And unfortunately, Notre Dame is the only team that's still undefeated, where most say, are they really the best team? But they still undefeated, you know, and they're, you know, an independent conference, so they automatically have a bowl game with their, you know, how they got their thing set up. But that's why you say it's hard to go undefeated, man. You know what I'm saying? Teams we didn't think any team was going to be undefeated left the way it was looking at this year, but it's down to one, you know. And the question is, will Notre Dame beat USC? But I think for all this, for future resolutions, thankfully in a couple of years we'll have a playoff to, you know, to figure all this stuff out, you know, who really could be the best team at the end. So, wish we had a playoff this year.
We're going to get into that Notre Dame USC game in a little bit of a minute. I guess let me do a spinoff here. I mean, does that really say something in regards to the balance of power? I mean, not necessarily balance of power, but the balance in college football right now, where you see an unranked team like Baylor beat the number one team in the country, Kansas State. So, I mean, because 20 years ago, that would have been unheard of for an unranked team to beat the number one team in the country. Now, you kind of see that happen, not necessarily all the time, but you kind of see it more than once a year type of thing. So, what does that say? Do you think it's the balance of power, the balance, like the talent level spreading out in college football?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, you gotta look at, like, there's so many different factors that play into that. First, you can look at school options. You know, every kid can't get in every school. So you're going to have more kids going to school that might more lack the system, like, you know, so maybe they're more packed than, say, you know, Stanford or something like that, you know, or Notre Dame. So they think you can have maybe a 4-star recruit, you know, going to to another school, you know, because he couldn't make the grades, he having to prove himself. And, you know, like, also, you know, it's more, you got more schools playing football, more kids out there, you know, athlete, you know, people are playing at a higher level. You know, so I think, you know, I think, like I said, definitely, like, you know, like I said before, a talent level is starting to spread out more now. And you're starting to, you know, pretty much it's starting to become where anybody can beat anybody. I mean, we had, you know, a couple of years ago, Appalachian State come to Michigan and beat Michigan in the Big House. You know, so it's definitely starting to become a lot more parity in the talent level.
Yeah, like Mike was saying, reduction of scholarships and teams, you know, more balanced, you know, the players more balanced now, you know, even field with, you know, players going to other schools and stuff like that, you know. But also, like I was just saying, you know, it's hard to go undefeated. You're not going to go undefeated every year. You know, everybody say, well, team can't lose a game and this and that, you know, to get to a championship where, I mean, the thing about it, why everybody wants to play out because, you know, a team like K-State, you know, pretty much most likely not going to get to a BCS, you know, championship because of that one loss. Had it be a playoff, you know what I'm saying, this year, and they, you know, they still might have a chance. But, you know, it's hard, you know. And on that, this past Saturday, they just, they ran against on that day, you know, Baylor team, you know, they got them, you know. They didn't play their best ball. Again, like, you know, Texas was saying, again, it's hard to get to a national championship. Even make it harder when you don't have a playoff either.
Okay. Well, I want to kind of let's talk about Oregon, that Oregon-Stanford game. Now,
can I add one more thing to the subject we were just talking about?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Tex. Go ahead.
All right. No, it's I think it's a combination of things. I mean, your tradition, your powers are going to continuously be at the top. They're going to continue to vie for BCS title game appearance or a BCS title. But you have, I mean, it's like the Oregon-Auburn year. You know, Auburn kind of jumps out of nowhere. You see what I'm saying? Notre Dame. I think they have like 59 seniors. So sometimes it's like Butler in college basketball. You know, Butler carries 8 seniors and they make a run to the Final Four. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes you get teams that are having experience and you get a bunch of seniors and it kind of ends up working for you in the end. So you kind of have this glitch in the matrix years like Auburn, who I'm not necessarily saying that's what happened to them, but you had some seniors, but then you had a quarterback, and you know, Oregon bust on. I mean, Oregon's program is, you know, they've risen since 2006, 2005, 2006. They've been on the rise, but you know, it wasn't a year that you just knew that Alabama or USC or Texas or OU would be in the championship. So sometimes you get that glitch in the matrix where teams are senior laden and they put it together and they make a run.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, we got a caller here. You know, our favorite person in the world here. So, Watley, go ahead. See him through the storm.
Good evening, everyone. This
what's
is
good?
Tony
what's
Watley.
Good?
What's going on, Tony?
What's up, fellas? What's up? I think that the whole K-State, Oregon, Notre Dame thing this year is a combination of, like everyone else kind of said, it's all about the flawed rating system. And the reason why is because before the season even starts, the experts, so-called experts, try to get who they think is the best team in each conference in the top 10. And none of these teams have proven themselves to even be legitimate, much less the best. So they automatically get ranked 1 through 10 before they've proven anything. And then when people start falling off, these teams that haven't even played anyone are shown themselves, keep moving up in that top 10, and they still haven't played anyone. Then they get down the line, they're ranked 2, 3, and 4 because they haven't played anyone yet, and then they go up against a sound team, whether it be a sound offensive or defensive team, and they lose. And then their whole legitimacy about why they were there is put into question. And I agree, hopefully, that the playoff system will solve that. But I really believe all of this is because of our flawed rating system.
Okay. Any response to that, what Watley said?
I'm with that. Playoff, I mean, you need a playoff, but 14 still is not enough. I mean, you're going to have to extend it to, in my opinion, at least 12. You know, 4
yeah.
doesn't do the job. But
yeah, I agree.
I agree with Tony.
I thought it was 8. It's 4. Is it only 4?
It's 4, but I'm almost positive it'll extend. It'll probably branch out to about 8, no less than 8. I think it should be 12, though. But we'll see how it works, but it's just 4 right now.
Yeah, I agree. I say, you know, the
okay.
conference.
Okay, let me put you on hold here, Watley. I got another call here.
No problem.
813-443.
Yeah, playoff system's great, but, I mean, there's always going to be some problem with it, right?
Hold on, someone's phone is making a sound. Who is that?
Mike.
Yeah, it is Mike. All right.
There's always going to be a problem. We're always going to find some problem with whatever system we put in. Four teams, it needs to be eight. If it's eight, it needs to be 12. If it's 12, it needs to be 16. You know, it's just going to keep multiplying. Just like the tournament in basketball. Now, what is it, like 450 teams in college basketball that play for the tournament?
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, like I said, until you get a system, really what I think will probably need to end up happening is they would have to eliminate the conferences, you know, and have teams just play random teams or something like that. Because as long as you're, like I said, first of all, as long as you have a system where anybody's ranked, where you're ranking teams, there's going to be controversy because you're ranking teams as opposed to where the team's actual standing is. So you have a human. There's always going to be a human factor in any kind of ranking. Like, you know, like I said before, when you have a preseason ranking where you rank teams, there's going to be controversy because, you know, it's going to affect pretty much how the whole season goes.
Hey, you know, let me touch on that real quick. I think that we need to wait till like week 7 before we start ranking teams in college football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the preseason is really what puts them where they're at now. I mean, if you go undefeated, essentially that means that you should be the best team in the country. I don't necessarily think that's true.
Exactly. And every year, like I was saying earlier, every year the team is a season where no one's going to go undefeated. Fortunately, now you're seeing Notre Dame is the only team right there still, but, you know, I mean, you can't base it just because the team is undefeated. You're the best team or what conference they in. It's hard. You know, it's not going to happen every year.
Because otherwise, the only teams that would ever make it in is either SEC or the Big 12.
All right. Well, hold on. I got another few callers here. Let me put you on hold here real quick. Matt. Yeah, and again, if you want to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-5539. The previous caller, Matt, he has his show, The Cold Hard Truth on Sports on the Mathis and Raymond Network, every Tuesday from the same time as we have ours, 8:30 to 10, on Tuesday nights, though, instead of Wednesdays. Let me get this caller here, 850-4544.
You're talking about the flaws in the upcoming playoff system here. Just that they're selecting 14, is that they pretty much will have a quote-unquote selection committee for those 14. So, I mean, that really doesn't show much difference than the current system that we have now. Instead of choosing two teams to play for the national championship, you're playing for four. It's not like you have, say, your Big 12 champion, your Pac-12 champion, ACC and SEC champion being in the playoffs. No, it doesn't work like that. And with that being said, even if they do extend it to, like, say, 18, 12 teams, how are they going to do that? It's not going to be the same as FCS, who has, say, every conference champion in and then a few wild cards. So that's the system that they're going to have to work on. And with that 14 system they have now, that's going to be there for the first 10 seasons is what they propose. So we're going to see how they're going to tweak that system. But as of right now, that four-team system might not work.
Yeah, I'm not really big on the 14 system because it's going to be like this team deserves to get in, this team deserves to get in. I kind of like want to just model it after the subdivision playoff system. I don't know how many teams are in there. I think it's like maybe 10 or 16 or something like that. Does anybody know?
The FCS has 20 teams this year.
Yeah, 20 teams. So, I mean, I think they should do it. I think they should just model it directly how they do it. I mean, I don't understand. They could do it during the Christmas holidays. I mean, I understand. I mean, they're going to be out there practicing anyway. It's better to do it during the Christmas holidays.
There's one thing you got to realize about this. It's all about money. It ain't about trying to – they're not – college football is all about money. They're not trying to find who the real best team is or who – they're trying to get as much money as they can out of these ball games.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it comes down to. It's not – you know, that –
That's why they're still not eliminating bold, even though they're going to have a playoff. They're gonna make their money. It's not ever, you know, like I say, you're not going to get, you know, just 16 teams playing, you know, or 10 teams playing in a playoff system, because it's, you know, like I say, they're going to get their money. You're going to still have the 20 Mike and bowls and all these, you know, Meineke Car Care bowls and Dot
Com
bowl and all that.
The,
you know, they're going to get their money.
Yeah, but I think let's say money aside, which is definitely unrealistic, but let's just say money aside. I mean, would you like it to a situation like these bowl games? I kind of prefer it where you win your conference championship, you get an automatic bid, you get a home game or something like that in the major BCS conference. Would you like, in an ideal playoff system, would you like something like that, sort of similar to the NFL? Where the conference championship gets a home game, and then the team, I guess, like the number one and the number two team in the nation gets a first round bye, or something like that. What do y'all think about that?
I think they should just do that across the board. Just have the conference champions. Yeah, I mean,
how about this? I got a proposal on that. You could take what the FCS does, but extend it to the semifinals, because what they do is the finals game is always at a neutral field. But in this case, you can put the semifinals and the finals on the neutral field or wherever the bowl games will end up being.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Like, they play their championship every year in Chattanooga, Tennessee, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, that's another conversation itself. We got to direct the conversation anywhere, somewhere else. Well, I'm going to put you back on hold here, James. We're going to go to the next topic here real quick. This week has – Well, I mean, with Kansas State and Oregon losing, I forgot to get on that topic. With Kansas State and Oregon losing, which teams are likely to get to the national championship game? I mean, if you're in a time warp now, last week we thought it was going to be Kansas State since they had the easiest schedule. And a lot of us thought it was Oregon, but obviously they lost the game. So who do you think is going to make it to the national championship game now? I'm going to start with you, Tex. Who do you think is going to be there?
I think Alabama gets one spot. I'm not so sure about the other spot. I know everybody got Notre Dame beating USC now that Barkley is out, but I just need to see it. I just need to see it to believe it. I think Bama gets one spot. I can't see them losing for the rest of the year, but I mean, it could happen. But
I wanted to interrupt you real quick. Is it official that Barkley's not going to be playing on Saturday?
Yeah,
he was like, I thought it was a maybe. But okay, it's
not
official.
Can't play with AC Spring.
Okay. So you think it's Alabama? Well, if Notre Dame loses a game, then the Florida Gators will win. Well, no, it depends if Florida beats Florida State. Like you said, it's going to be a wild card either way. I mean, if Oregon wins and Florida loses, then that puts Oregon in the national championship game if Notre Dame loses. So give me another team, Tex. You got to give us two teams, man. You can't bail out on that. Just if you had to make a decision right now, who would you get?
I mean, it's Bama, and then I don't know. You know,
We need that much time anyway.
Up,
but
Bama, Oregon. Then I mean, you know, Bama
Oregon.
Oregon.
Okay, all right. We got Cali, Mike. Who you got?
I'd put Alabama in one of the spots. I would like to put Florida State there, but just looking, they're getting dogged in these rankings, man. It's, you know, I argue it every week, but they're getting dogged. Clemson's getting dogged. I mean, I'm looking at the points. They're three full points behind Alabama right now. You know what I mean? They're not, you know, in a perfect world, if Florida State should beat Florida and then beat Clemson again in the ACC championship. Well, is there an ACC championship this year?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, yeah, they will beat them again. They should go to the national championship. But they're so far down. These BCS rankings are a joke this year. They're so far down in these rankings, it doesn't look like they have a chance. Oregon has to play Oregon State, who's ranked number 15, so they could possibly jump. And then they're also going to have the Pac-12 championship game again. So right now, I'd say it's going to be Alabama and Oregon.
Okay, well,
hold on.
With this Oregon thing, a lot of people don't realize, we were on the show last night, if Stanford, was it UCLA and Stanford, if UCLA lets Stanford beat them, then Stanford goes to the Pac-12 championship game. So I don't know if that affects Oregon or not. In terms of being able to get to the UCLA could like just lose the game on purpose they could just lose another game on the post. So
that's why I gotta look at the BCS. Oregon State is, I think they're number 15 right now. Also, Kansas State still play Texas. Texas number 16, and they still got. Well, no, there ain't no Big 12 championship this year, is there?
No, there's no Big 12 this year. No.
Well, see, so they would have to do a miraculous jump because they're 1 point behind now. But like I said, Oregon could still be in it. Perfect world, it would be Florida State. But like I said, I put on Alabama more. But it's also, even though I really hate Notre Dame, it's tough to say that they would beat a. SU would beat them without Matt Barkley, but what a freshman started. So, but I don't know. You never know. Right now, I say Alabama, Oregon.
Okay. All right. So you're basically saying that USC. You think USC is going to beat Notre Dame's lead? That's what you're basically saying.
I don't know. Realistically,
if Notre Dame wins, they're in the national championship game. If Notre Dame wins, they're in the national championship game.
Realistically, I say no. I think Notre Dame has a fantastic shot of beating USC.
Notre Dame has a good team,
and plus, like, SC's quarterback is hurt. Both teams are gonna be trying to play their hearts out, but Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame has more to lose, so I think they're gonna come out, put it all on the field.
All right, all right. Let me go. Chi-Town. Let me get your picks before I get to these callers here.
Well, I mean, Alabama still. I agree with the boys. Alabama still. You can put them as either or one of the spots. I mean, Notre Dame gotta take care if they're gonna have a chance. They gotta beat USC and. If you was picking, they pretty much probably would be the favorite now that Matt Barkley is not playing. But then again, it's a rivalry game, so you just don't know. And Oregon still got a shot. They just got to win out, the next game. And now, they got a conference championship, and they win the Pac-12, and, hey, they got a chance too. So it still could be, Alabama or Oregon or
after. I'm going to shock you all here. If I had to pick right now, my heart, obviously, I'm an Alabama fan. But something tells me, man, Georgia could beat Alabama. I got this feeling right now. If they play today on a neutral field, for some reason, I think Georgia could beat them. I don't know why. Because the offense, that's basically it. They have the tall receivers, and they have the quarterback that can get the ball to the receiver. So I kind of got Georgia over Alabama right now. But I got to see how Georgia plays. I will be studying this weekend how they play Georgia Tech. I just want to see how the offense flows, how they're playing against Georgia Tech. It gives me an idea if they can beat Alabama. But Alabama did bounce back, even though it was against a weak competition. But they seem like, they got a light sparked under them from the loss against Texas A&M. So I got Alabama. Right now, I'm going to say Georgia versus, I guess I got to say Notre Dame. So
wow,
let me
You could. It's the same Clydesdale they were saying. This Alabama team is like the 2001 Miami team. You don't have no.
Let me backtrack here, Tex. Kelly, Mike. All right, I said I was wrong about that. Now let's just go down. Okay, did not say that. Now I said that
about it though.
I said I was wrong, but I did not concede on the Alabama. This Alabama era is the era similar to the Miami of the 80s. That's what I said. I still stick by that statement, but I went away from the statement that this Alabama team is just as good as the 2001 Miami Hurricane team. I think I was wrong about that, based on after the game against Ole Miss, and I could see that they weren't on that level. But there will be a team, I think, in this generation that will be similar to that 2001 Miami Hurricane. I really believe that. And there will be an Alabama team similar to that. I really believe that. Because the way they're recruiting
is something during the season, like I said, you know, everybody has, you know, you're gonna watch an Alabama game different than I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch a USC game different than you're gonna watch it. Something you noticed in Alabama made you change your mind, because right before they played Texas A&M, you were actually the only one who stayed in Texas A&M could beat them. So what did you notice about them that you thought that they could that made you change your mind about them?
Well, I mean, from the Ole Miss game, when they play Ole Miss, they were having a tough time in the first half against Ole Miss. They couldn't, like I said, that corner, number 10, the defensive back, something's just not, like, I mean, they have good players, but for some reason, like, when they get when they play against tall receivers and you got a quarterback that can get the ball on that backside shoulder route, like I was telling Tex last week, something's just not right with them, you know. And I just noticed that.
That boy from A&M ain't that tall. The white dude swoops.
They had the other guy, Evans, on this. No, they had Evans on the other side, Cali Mike. They had Evans on the other side. Evans is a pretty tall dude. And then LSU, what I'm saying is Texas A&M did what LSU did. LSU was the one that really exposed them with the corners, the number 10 on Alabama. That's the team. And then Texas A&M just copied what LSU did. And then and that's how Alabama lost the game against Texas A&M. But like I said, I just noticed when they played Ole Miss, just something with that defense, even though they were still good, but I could just tell the teams were still kind of moving the ball on them somewhat. And then that showed me right there, they're not on the 2001 Miami Hurricanes level, but they're the best team in the country up until that game against Texas A&M. But they're not, you know, 2001 Miami Hurricanes. But from what I'm looking at, before I get into these callers here, what I'm looking at with Georgia in terms of their offense, everybody's big on Texas A&M, but people are not looking at Georgia. Their offense is playing pretty good right now. You know, Aaron Murray, you can say he's playing just as well as Johnny Football. So, you know, right now I have to pick Georgia over Alabama right now. But let me just see how Georgia plays against Georgia Tech against a rival, and then I'll make my decision next week. Let me get to this caller here.
But Georgia hasn't been steady. What Georgia team is going to show up, though? I mean, you just don't know about Georgia, though.
I don't know. Something happened to them when they played Florida. When they played Florida, some light sort of sparked. I don't know. They've been a different team since they played Florida. I mean, they've been, like, pretty good. So, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Well, let me get this caller here. You're our favorite person here. Tony Wiley, what's up?
What's up? First and foremost, we were talking about the conference championship. I think that the best way to do the conference championship is require all college football teams to be in a conference, including Notre Dame. All that independent stuff needs to stop. All of them have to be in a conference. You play your conference schedule. You have your conference championship. And then you do the playoff system from the winners of the conferences. You do just like you do with basketball. You have all 8 conferences, 10 conferences, 12 conferences, however many conferences you end up with. You bring them in. They all pull a ball. They get 1 through 8, whatever. 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7, so forth and so on.
I don't go with that, because there could be like 2 teams. There could be 2 teams in a conference, and one of the second place team could be better.
The best teams win, no matter what, right?
I want to see the best teams in the tournament. I want to see the 8 teams. I want to see the best 8 teams in the tournament. I don't like that mess.
Are they not?
What'd you say?
The best 2 teams are going to end up coming through.
No, that's not true, because the best 2 teams could be in the same conference. That's not true. I don't like the way the NCAA basketball tournament does their tournaments. These little automatic bids for these at-large teams, like the SWAC championship.
The best 2 teams in America can't be in the same conference, because the best two teams in that conference just beat the other team. You can only take the best from each conference and then have them go against all other conferences.
I kind of agree with Tony. I see where he's coming from, at least. I kind of agree with that. I mean, I think, like you said, I think if everybody, if you played, if look at this, like I say, if you take away pretty much the out of conference games, you could have each team play every team in your conference.
Yeah.
And then just have the champions go to a playoff. So I don't know. I wouldn't see a problem with that.
No, I don't like that. Like I said,
it doesn't matter if Alabama and LSU, you think Alabama and LSU are the two best teams in the country. It doesn't matter. If Alabama beats LSU in the SEC championship, LSU is out of it. It's that simple. And Alabama goes on to represent the SEC in the playoffs.
But no, I don't agree with that. Well, I mean, you got to look at it, home field advantage. You got to think of these things like this. I mean, those things create an advantage towards a certain team. So when the playoffs come, how? You tell me home field advantage doesn't create a certain advantage for a certain team in college football? Are you kidding me? Come on, man.
You can argue that Georgia and Alabama are the best two teams in America. But if Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship, then Georgia's the better team, and they represent the entire conference.
All right, whatever, man. I'm all about when the playoffs happen, I want to see the best teams in the playoffs.
So,
I don't want to see these little at large.
You don't see what he's saying. They're gonna beat those teams.
I understand what he's saying. The other team will get knocked out or whatnot. But you don't know if they can beat them again. You don't know that. So I'm just saying
you
I want to see.
No, again, it's win or go home.
So you're okay with the NCAA? You're okay with what the NCAA does? The MEAC championship gets MEAC champion get an automatic bid. The SWAC champion get an automatic bid. I don't like that. You know, because then
I
end up.
If you win your conference, you should be able to go to the dance. I don't think you should. Because we didn't see Akron, we didn't see Butler, we didn't see teams make runs.
Butler was one of the 64 best teams though that year. So they were ranked in the top 25. So you know they were one of the 64. But you talking about North Carolina A&T, one of the 64 best teams? Come on, man, that's not true. So I'm just saying, that's the only
at large teams are the last two teams now. That's only two extra teams. The MEAC has always had a place in the NCAA tournament.
I'm not talking about at large teams. I'm talking about the champion of every conference.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. I mean, if I don't want to go too much into this because we got a bunch of callers.
Everybody in the playoffs will be a champion because they are all champions. All right,
man.
I gotta stop arguing here.
So let me put you. I gotta get these guys calls in. We're gonna get a follow up on this. I'm gonna put you on hold here real quick. Let me get the next call here. 813-443.
All right. The one problem, and this year is actually a good example, they talked about this on SportsCenter today. If you go with whoever wins the conference championship to go on to the tournament, Big 12 would be a perfect example. It's mathematically possible that there's a four-way tie for first place this year. And in that case, they would actually have four teams share the Big 12 title. No kidding. So that's one way that it's not going to necessarily work out. And I agree with Clausell on the sense that just because you have a loss or because you're in the same conference as a team that beat you doesn't necessarily mean that those aren't the two best teams. Like, for the national title last year, LSU and Alabama were clearly the best two teams. Some other teams may have had a good shot to win a national title too. If we had a playoff, I think that would make it better. But I don't think we should look at it like – we should look at it more like the pro-style system of playoffs. Just because you've lost the game doesn't mean – a game or two or three doesn't mean that you're not getting in. Your record helps you get into the playoffs, and what you do once you get in, you start from a clean slate. That's essentially what you want to look at with the playoffs.
The thing about, like I said, the thing about the college, though, is too many teams to do that, man. You can't you can't, especially like football, basketball is different.
Other
man. You can't, you can't do that in football, man. You can't play that many games and have you. It's not safe for the kids. It's not. No, that,
how many BCS conferences are there right now?
I think five or four.
I think
six. There's six.
Six
you
BCS conferences. You talking about automatic qualifier?
I'm talking about Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, Big 10, ACC, and Big E. Those are the six BCS conferences.
The Big 10 is technically the Big 12 now, or now you say the 14 because we just. They just added two more teams.
Or you could say the Big East. Now Rutgers, Rutgers joined the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But I mean, so you're saying only the Big Six conferences will go.
Those Big Six conferences. Let's face it. Anybody outside those six conferences are irrelevant unless it's Notre Dame.
Tell that to Boise State. They're not irrelevant.
I join one of those conferences.
Nah,
I think that's the upper tier, upper echelon. I guess we'll say Boise State, we'll say Notre Dame. Those are really the two exceptions that we've had, we could say, over the last decade.
I say Boise State. I said this a while ago. I say Boise State should, you know what I'm saying, it would have been great if they joined the Pac-12, which eventually they probably will.
Pac-12 don't want them, man.
Hold on, the Pac-12 don't want them, man. You look at this year. This year has proven that there's more. Like I said, you got Louisiana Monroe's beating schools. It's more parity, man. You can't just say you know, okay, these six conferences and then everybody else, because then there's schools in those six conferences that don't deserve to go to no bowl game. So I mean, you can't, you know, like I said, I think you gotta look at everybody. Schools like you be counting out schools like USF. I mean, there's different schools that got there's different schools that got talent. You can't just say, you know, okay, we're only gonna take these conferences.
Where's the cutoff? There's too many teams. If you look
at
those
like
six conferences,
by the conference champions.
Okay, well, one person was arguing the best team in the country. They were talking about scoring ranks. Well, the top scoring team in the country is Louisiana Tech. Should they be in the mix now? Do they score a lot of points?
No, they're not playing the top teams. They got to play some better teams.
Okay, so
okay,
Florida
but should,
State.
But should they automatically be out of it, though? Should they not even have a chance? There's only so many games you can play. Everybody says, okay, play the top teams. You guys don't understand how schedules work. Teams just don't go, okay, we're going to play each other. These schedules be made 3, 4, 10 years.
Yeah, they should do that. If they want to put their program on the map, they got to do that. They got
to
do all that.
No, because Ohio State's scheduling games for 2025 already, man. These teams just don't come up, okay, we're going to be good this year, so we're going to want to play them. That's not how it goes, man.
Well, it's not necessarily we're going to be good, let's play them. Let's look at it like this. They're garbage. They're probably not going to be good. So we're not going to put nobody state on our schedule. That's bullshit. Get rid of that. All together.
All right.
We got to wrap this up.
I got another call here. One last comment.
Yeah, this part. One of the teams that was kind of been having a good year is Louisville. Now, I don't know if y'all heard, but it's rumored that they may be heading to the ACC since, you know, the ACC just lost Rutgers and Maryland.
Probably.
They're a BCS conference.
Leaving the Big East. Yeah, leaving the Big East to go to the ACC.
Hold on, Mike. We're gonna get into that. These conference changes a little bit. In the next topic here, so I want to hold that discussion until the next topic here. All right, let me just get this one caller. I'm gonna put you on hold here real quick, Matt. Let me put you on hold. Next caller is 850. 850.
How are you? Hold on a second. Going off of what Brother Tony Watley said earlier. So, Quazelle, you're bringing up this point that you say that you don't like when, like, say, in college basketball, when the MEAC and SWAC champion get an automatic bid in the tournament. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Yeah, I don't know, man. Are you implying because I'm a product of an HBCU? Is that why you're getting at me like that? I'm being honest with you. I do. I'm not going to lie to you. I do. I don't like that. I mean, I think that I want to see the best teams in the tournament. That's just my opinion. I want to see the best teams in the tournament. You know, I don't think. I mean, let's say this. I mean, or you can say this. These lower level, these mid-major, lower mid-major conferences, they shouldn't have a conference tournament, because if you have like a 1-6 team out the MEAC that just wins their conference tournament, the team that had the best record in the MEAC ain't going to even go to the tournament. So, I mean, maybe they should get rid of the conference championship or conference tournaments out of these specific
That never happened. I mean, he just made a wild assumption. No one in 16 has ever made the NCAA tournament. Come on now.
Here's the thing about
it. There's been a team with a record that's made the NCAA tournament. A lot of these lower level division schools.
When?
I mean, they do it in the SWAC. They've done it before the SWAC. I know Alabama State has made the NCAA tournament with like an under 500 record. And they didn't win their conference. They didn't win their conference. They just got hot. Fam, you did it before. I don't know what you're talking about. You know that.
Fam, you did that before.
Fam, you had a. I don't want to get into this too much longer. I just want to say this. Fam, you had a losing record in the regular season, and they got hot in the MEAC tournament.
That never happened. That's made up.
That's not made up. Look it up. FAMU had a losing record in the regular season, and they got hot in the MEAC tournament, and they made the tournament because they won the conference tournament.
You weren't there, Kelly Mike.
This was years after you left.
It was an NCAA tournament. That's why I say they had that one to MEAC, because they did have a losing record.
Yeah, it was Terrence Woods with the guy that had the whatever. I won't even go into that right now. But what's your point, James, before we get to the next point? I'm sorry, caller.
Yo, my point about it is, even if you do have a FAMU winning the tournament of the conference with the losing record, you also have someone like a Norfolk State that had 24 wins during the season and turn around to be the top 10 Missouri team in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Right.
That's why they have that, okay? In football, you can't really do that because there's way too many teams, and you got to be able to play in so many weeks. But
in the magnitude of the game, you know what I'm saying?
But the issue is that if you're playing for a Conference USA team or a Big Sky team or like Mountain West or anything like that, you could go 55-0 and not even play for a national championship. That has to bother you at some point. When you could have a 4-year record and not even lose any game and not play for the national championship, that's the problem.
You talking about like in basketball? That's not gonna happen. They're gonna be
No.
A football.
In college football, you could be undefeated for 4 straight years in those volunteer schools and not play for a national championship.
In the Big Sky, is that Division One?
No, I mean not Big Sky, but I'm saying like Mountain West, you know,
Conference
USA, the West.
If you go, I think you could. To be honest with you, I disagree. I think you could.
No,
if you talking about you go 4 straight years undefeated?
No.
Think about Boise State would lose some games here and there. You know, I mean they've had undefeated seasons, but they would lose some games here and there. You know,
Boise State has a top record out of any conference at any school in the country in the past 10 years.
But they never played the elite team. Like the thing with Boise State issue was they went to Georgia.
But here's the issue here.
Hold on, they didn't go to the home stadium. What they would do is they would go to a neutral field near the stadium because they wanted to get the share of the revenue. That's what they did. They did that with Georgia and they did that with Virginia Tech. You think I'm making this up? What are you laughing at, man?
Do you know why they do that neutral field stuff? Because they can't sign home and homes.
That's what I'm saying. They're going
to
have to do that.
Teams to come over there.
Also, too.
No, but what I'm saying is, I want to end this real quick.
I had touched that story last year about Boise State. Remember, I was saying on the show that they expanded, you know, they was adding more to the school because, you know, they had that time, you know, when they were making that run, they didn't have as much scholarships as other schools like USC or Miami. So now they got the same role fellowships now. They got it more.
No, what I'm saying is, in regards to that Boise State situation, what Boise State's going to have to do, if they want to be considered with the elite teams, they're going to have to not do that home and home. They're going to have to, because they have to do like what Florida State did to put themselves on the map. They have to go to that person's backyard and beat them. That's the only way they're going to have to do it. Like Florida State, when Florida State beat Nebraska, when Nebraska was Nebraska, that put Florida State on the map. Boise State's going to have to go to some place like Alabama and beat them. They're going to have to go to the Swamp and beat them. In order for the Boise State to be considered the elite team, they're going to have to do that. They can't do it home and home. No, they don't want to do a home and home against Boise State because they feel that they're better than Boise State. So if Boise State goes to their home without a return,
if they feel they're better than them, it shouldn't matter. That's crazy. That doesn't make sense. They feel
so Boise State, no, they feel that they're better than Boise State, but Boise State feels like they're on the same level as those teams, so they want to do a home-and-home. You know what I'm saying? Boise State feels
that's
like they're
how,
on the same level, so they have the right to do a home-and-home.
That's how scheduling does. When you schedule most of the schools, when you schedule a home-and-home. That's how it goes.
Yes, against a certain level. The team has to be on a certain level. Florida State not going to do a home-and-home against Savannah State. They're not going to do that. USF's
that's
not going
to
do a home-and-home against South Florida.
Boise State now. Come on.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
Come on now.
And that's the point I'm saying. The Florida Gators feel like there's a big difference between Boise State and Florida and University of Florida. That's the point I'm making. They don't feel like Boise State's on their level.
Hold on a minute.
Alabama would go to Boise State if Boise State went to, you know, Death Valley and beat LSU, or they went to the Swamp and beat Florida. Then Alabama would be like, okay, we can do that.
Hey, quick, how can Florida not go to USF if Florida State can? All right, I'm out on that point.
I'm sorry?
I said Florida State is able to schedule a home and home in South Florida. But the University of Florida can't. So that's the 50-50
argument. I don't know, Florida State, but you understand the culture of Florida State. Florida State has a history of doing that. Florida State's like, cool, we can go back and back, you know, because that will put Florida State on the map. But the University of Florida doesn't necessarily have a history of doing that. Notre Dame doesn't necessarily have a history of doing that. So, I mean, some schools are open to doing that. Some schools are not open to doing that. That's the point I'm saying. And Boise State, in order to put themselves on the map, they're going to have to go on the road and beat some teams.
All right, there's a lot of callers here.
Hold on,
I'm
sorry.
They beat Oklahoma in a BCS bowl game. So, I mean,
what? Come on, man. Okay. I don't even want to go there, man. I don't even want to get into that like that. You know that's so much.
All right, hold on.
Utah beat Alabama in a bowl game? And that's what I'm talking about right there. That's ridiculous right there. And you know both those teams, Oklahoma and Alabama didn't even want to play in those games.
Last
year, I didn't even want to talk about
last year,
that, man.
Last year,
hold on. Hey, James. James.
Georgia last year.
Hold on. I gotta put you on hold, James. Let me get to the call here.
They went to the Georgia Dome.
Hold up, Cali Mike. They went to the Georgia Dome. I gotta push this conversation on.
They did beat them, though.
I gotta push this conversation here. Let's go to the Florida State-Florida game. What do you think is going to happen? Florida State-Florida, USC, Notre Dame, because we were talking a lot in this conversation here. What do you think is going to happen with those games here? Let's start with Florida State and Florida. Let me start with you, Tex. I haven't heard from you. What do you have to say about that?
I think Florida State wins that game. I think Florida's had a good year. I think I knew they'd be good. I think they're ahead of schedule. I just think Florida State, I think the offense is ultra athletic. The pass rush is vicious. I just think FSU's defensive line is too deep, man. It's just, you know, it's too many pass rushes on there for whoever's playing quarterback for Florida to just sit back there and throw the ball, because that's what's going to have to happen for the Gators to win. But I don't see Florida State losing that game. Pass rush is definitely a factor. I think Florida State wins handily.
Okay. Let me go to Shottown.
Well, and now when Florida, I mean, the Driscoll kid looks like he might be ready to play in that game. But a lot of heat and attention has been on Florida State with all the hype. I mean, they're going to be in Tallahassee. You know, it's a rivalry. You know, the two schools don't like each other. But this game, though, something tell me, I think I wouldn't be surprised if it be a close game or even go into overtime. But I'm going to have to go with Florida State in this game. I think Florida State is going to get Florida.
Okay. Let me go with you, Shots on me, Cali Mike.
I got Florida State, man. I mean, they, you know, they got a tough defense, like Tech said. They got a good offense. There's no reason they shouldn't win this game.
Well, I mean, my thing is with this game is really, I'm really going to be watching this, and we're going to have a watch party. I'm going to have a watch party at Gators Dockside, 56 Apollo Student, here in Tampa, Florida, if you might want to go. But, you know, when I think about this game, Florida is going to be pumped up for this game. This is their game of the year. And I have to give the Florida Gators their credit. They've came to play. They've answered the bell every game this year. Answered the call every game this year. And for some reason right now, I have a hunch that Florida might win this game. I really do. I think it's going to be a very close game because you got to think about it. Florida State's not going to be in the national championship game. Maybe they may not want to be up for this game. They already are in the ACC championship game. So they really have nothing to play for except for their pride, which is a lot. So I think their pride is a robbery. Exactly, it's a pride. So I'm gonna go against the grain here. I'm gonna pick the Florida Gators. Now I wouldn't be surprised if Florida State still wins, but for some reason I'm gonna go with the Florida Gators in this game. I really have this feeling they can go in this game. What's the question?
Is your stance change about Will Muschamp? You still think Will Muschamp is not a big time coach?
I won't lie to you, man. I may be wrong about that. I have to see him. I have to see.
I told you.
I don't know. He's made me think a little bit different about him this year. I will agree because, you know, that Georgia game, I thought he wasn't really the guy that was going to get him over the hump. But, you know, he showed me something this year. I have to admit, he showed me something this year. Hold on, what you about to say, Tex, real quick?
I was going to ask you why do you think Florida can be? I mean, what edge on both sides of the ball would Florida have against Florida State this weekend?
I don't think necessarily Florida has a better defensive line than Florida State. I just think, you know, when big games have happened for Florida this year, they answer the call every game almost, except for maybe Georgia. When LSU, that was a lot of things pumped into that game. Georgia, really, that wasn't – a lot of people thought that Florida was going to win that game, but Georgia surprised them. But, you know, every game that Florida had to win, the LSU game, the South Carolina game, they figured out a way to win the game. And when it was a lot of pressure involved, they answered the call. There wasn't really a lot of pressure. Well, it was pressure, but it wasn't as much pressure as the LSU game, as the South Carolina game. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure for them to win this game. So based on that analysis, not necessarily that they are a better team than Florida State, but just the fact that, you know, they can answer the call, I think they may have an edge in this game. It'll be a very close game, like a 10-9 type of game, but I think Florida can keep it close. I think they got the defense to keep it close.
I think their time is up.
You think their time is up?
All right. I think 118. How many teams are there? How many teams are there in the NC1A? I think there's 100. I think they might be last in the country in passing. They're ranked 100. I think that's
that don't matter. All they have to do is play good defense. That's the thing. Play good defense to keep yourself in the game.
Everybody says, but you do got to put up points on four games.
My thing is, EJ Manuel, he's more of a game manager. Now, don't get me wrong, he's big time. Like, when he played Clemson, he answered the call. You know what I mean? He can throw that thing now.
In the beginning of the season, you were talking about if he the Heisman frontrunner, if he the number one pick. Now, all of a sudden, he's a game manager.
No, I always said he was a game manager. What are you talking about, man? You're twisting my words. I never said that. Go back on the tape, man. I never said that. What are you talking about, man?
Am I the only one?
No, Mike, Shottown, Mike. Shottown. You remember what I said about EJ Manuel at the beginning of the season?
Well, okay, what did you say, Mike? You tell me.
Shottown, Mike, what did I say about EJ Manuel?
I mean, I remember me and Clausel was talking about never too sold on Manuel.
Exactly.
He's still young, man. I mean, last year was his first year. Give a guy a chance. This is his second year, and
I kind of put him at like a Josh Freeman kind of a player. You know, he's not going to be like slinging the ball like Peyton Manning.
Josh Freeman is a baller. What are you talking about?
I understand that. What I'm saying is he's gonna manage the game. He's gonna throw the right passes. He's not gonna throw away the ball. That's the type of player he is. Yeah, I'm not saying that. Josh Freeman's a good player. I think EJ Manuel could be a good player in the NFL. That's what I'm just saying. I kind of equate him with Josh Freeman. That's just the point I'm saying. You know, but when the pressure's
Freeman now, but you just said that you know you wasn't too sold on him yet and this and that. Like I said,
no, I wasn't too sold on him, but I think he can play in the NFL because he's not going to throw away the ball. He's not going to make mistakes with the ball, you know. And he's a prototypical size quarterback. He looks the part. But hold on, let me get to a call here, man. We're really wasting time here. Hold up.
All I can say to all of y'all except for you, Clausel, there is nothing greater than chomping Gator haters, okay? I ain't got to explain why we going to win. All I got to do is tell you watch and whine. Now, last thing. You guys went all off on this conference thing. My whole thing about that was very simple. You take every single conference and you make them have a championship game. The champion of that game represents that conference in the playoffs. The winner of all of those conferences come together, they do a playoff, they're all champions, and then the champion of the champions is the champion. Bottom line.
All right.
That makes sense, though. I agree. I mean, I think that's a good platform to have. All
right. I'm going to put you on hold. We got to go.
Champion versus champion.
I got to put you on hold. We got the next call here because we got to move on here. Hold up. 813-443.
Well, I said that was a good point, but that was a terrible example.
What are you talking about?
Terrible example. Hey, Florida State, honestly, with all the hype on Florida State and where so many people think that they should be, Florida State should win this game. However, I don't very often root for Florida, but when I do, it's always against Florida State. So I'm actually going to pick and root for Florida to win, even though Florida State should win.
All right.
All right. Team's gonna play for a national title, so who really cares?
Well, if Notre Dame loses, then Florida will win. If Florida wins, and Notre Dame loses, Florida's in the national championship game.
Not necessarily.
Florida. It's not gonna be two SEC teams in the national championship this year, Clausel. You know that, right?
If Notre Dame loses, there will be. It will be. If Notre Dame loses and Florida wins.
No.
Jeff Morgan.
Okay, are you kidding me?
Jeff Morgan.
No.
Florida's already over Oregon. Hold on. Let me.
Yeah, which is outrageous after one loss, but yeah, keep going. Yeah.
All right, let me put you on hold here. I gotta move on here. Let me go 850.
I'm picking Florida State over Florida, even though like Jeff Griswold is slated to start the game, but it's like you know was brought up earlier. You can't really bring a valid point on what would Florida do against Florida State that way. You know, have them score enough points to beat them. I mean, Driscoll as a passer is unreliable. So you know that the Florida State defense.
I've been saying that all year.
The Florida State defense is going to focus on, you know, Gillislee to be running the ball. So, and you got those two star defensive ends on Florida State. So my thing is, what does Florida have that's going to have them beat Florida State? I mean, they
Florida State has
Louisiana Lafayette.
The defense, that's the point I'm saying, the defense. My point is the defense. They can just stay in the game. If the defense can just hold them.
They,
to less than 10 points
in the
or
game,
something.
But that don't mean that they're going to be winning the game. So you got to put
but
that
I'm saying you got special teams, you know, get them in good field position, that type of stuff. I'm saying that it's going to be that type of game this weekend. That's the point I'm making, you know. Not that Florida's a better team than Florida State, but the only thing Florida has on their heels is the good defense, you know. And like Tex says, his favorite quote, good defense travels. So, I mean, that right there could keep them in the game. The game's not going to be a blowout. People think this game, Florida State's going to win convincingly. They're not going to win convincingly. They're not going to win this game convincingly. It's going to be a close game. So, and my thing is, if the game's close, I think Florida has a chance to win this game. And that's why I'm picking them to win. But, I mean, hey, you know, I mean, I think the Vegas, I don't know what the odds are in Vegas. I'm pretty sure the Vegas, odds are in Vegas that 4-6 going to win this game. So we'll see. Hold on, let me put you back on hold here. Let's go to the next topic real quick, man. We got to get to the NFL, but I want to get this last topic here for college. Conference realignment. I think Maryland joined the Big Ten today. Someone said that Rutgers joined the ACC.
No, they joined yesterday. Rutgers joined today. Maryland joined yesterday.
Maryland joined the Big Ten yesterday. Rutgers joined the ACC yesterday? I thought it was...
No, they joined in the Big Ten, too. Maryland and Rutgers both joined in the Big Ten.
Okay, and then the ACC is looking for UConn. Is that correct?
Yeah, UConn
and USF.
And Louisville.
And Louisville. Okay, I heard USF was in the contention, too, but I doubt it will be USF. So, I mean, any opinions on that? Let me start with you, Tex. You got any opinions on that?
It's just a money move. I mean, the only people making a big deal out of it is Big Ten people that claim that everybody's trying to get into their conference. When you look around, there's nobody that's a contender that's at the top of any other conference trying to get into the Big Ten. So this is a Big Ten people thing, man. This ain't no
all right.
Everybody else, man.
Okay.
I didn't hear about that part about Big Ten. Any
opinions, Cali Mike? You got any opinions on that?
It's nothing.
Okay.
Like I said, that's about money. You know, it's not. That's not going to help college football because then you're going to even have larger conferences, which is only going to create more confusion because you're going to have less teams from each conference playing each other. So, you know, to me, that's going to have more confusion.
All right. I got one last question here.
I'll add my point to it. I was going to say also, it was thought that Virginia Tech maybe could be headed to the SEC. I just saw that today on a rumor, so I guess stay tuned on that. But
I doubt that. Honestly,
I didn't see this coming, you know, adding Maryland and Rutgers. I mean, I just don't see a fit for them to join the Big Ten. I mean, last year I was saying Mizzou would have made sense of joining, you know, the Big Ten. And, of course, Notre Dame. But, of course, they wasn't going to leave. Well, Iowa State, somebody in that region. But I just don't feel Maryland and Rutgers in our conference, you know what I'm saying?
It's about money, Mike. I mean, like I say, you're going to start having 16 conference teams. And, like I say, to me the point of a conference is for everybody to play each other. You already have it now where everybody's not playing each other. So you're going to have whole seasons, you know, like we're going to have this season in the SEC. Florida never played Alabama, which, you know, which is ridiculous. You know, if you don't add Texas A&M and Missouri, you're going to be able to play those games. You know, you got USC never playing Oregon State. You know, it's ridiculous. So, you know, to me, that's garbage, man. They never should start, you know, letting teams do that in the first place.
Okay. Hold on, I want to close this college football discussion off this one question, and I'm going to get to the callers, and then we'll go to the NFL. And I think this is sort of a fiery question because it was discussed last night on the Cold Hard Truth on sports. The question is, after the college football season we've seen so far, who is the best conference in the country right now? Based on what you've seen, is it the Pac-12? Is it the Big 12? Is it the SEC? Or is it the Big 10? I think everybody is consensus to say that it's not going to be the Big 10. So out of the three conferences, I think it's going to be out of the SEC, Big 12, or Pac-12. Who do you think is the best conference right there? Let me start with you, Tex.
SEC.
Okay. Let me go with you, Cali, Mike.
Pac.
Huh? Charlie, Mike, you there? You said a Pac-12?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you.
I said Pac-12. I'm yelling it.
Okay, Pac-12. And then let me go into you, Chi-Town. Who do you have?
For right now, looking at it, I mean, SEC, but you could argue about the Pac-12 as well.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of Pac-12, SEC. I kind of go with SEC, too, but I got Pac-12 number two, and I got Big 12 number three. So let me go to the college here and see what they have to say. And I'm going to first start with my favorite person, Mr. Watley here. Let me go. Okay.
Yeah, I heard that craziness last night about the Pac-12 being as good as the SEC. Are you kidding me? That
all right, Callie Mike, hold on. Callie, calm down. Let him finish, Callie Mike.
That is absolutely... Forgive me.
No, I'm saying based on what we've seen so far, based on what we've seen so far this season.
I said Pac-12. I meant Big 12. The one where Kansas State is at, right?
Ain't yeah, that's the Big 12.
That there is no way you can say that conference is equal to the SEC. But, of course, you know, if you're from Nebraska, maybe you'll think so. But I'm telling you,
he's
there's no way the Big 12 is equal to the SEC. And, again, I put it the SEC, the Pac-12, and then the Big 12.
And every time about this season now, this season, we're just talking about this season, not all the time, just this season. All right, based on what we've seen so far. All right, so let me put you on hold here, Wiley, and let me go to I'm gonna go to you third. No, Matt, I know you're listening. I know you got something to say here. All right, so let me put you on hold here. I'm gonna go to James first, okay? Let me go 850.
All right, the two quick points. I'm not with this whole conference realignment thing with some of these teams. Did not like the decision for Maryland to join the Big Ten. You know, being up here, we're pretty much used to Maryland versus Virginia, Duke, North Carolina. Now I got to see them going against Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio State. No, I'm not really quite down with that. And the whole traveling thing really kills them here in this case. Now, as far as the best conference for football this year, top to bottom, I'll have to go with the Big 12. I mean, just about every team in that conference will be bowl eligible this year. Can't say the same about the SEC.
Okay.
That's true. I think only Kansas only school is not bowl eligible.
Okay. All right. Let me put you on hold here, and let me go to Matt here. 813-443. Matt, you there? 813-443.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna go over it again. It's the Big 12. And the last caller kind of touched on it. That is the only conference this year that has pretty much all but one team that's most likely going to be bowl eligible. And all but one team in that conference has been ranked at one point this year. The SEC comes second with seven teams. And they've held that. SEC is actually the conference that's held the most ranked teams at any given point during the season, but the Big 12s have more ranked teams, saying the overall conference is at a higher level of winning. Not saying talent, that right now it's a better conference than the SEC. With the SEC, you have three teams right now that don't even have an in-conference win, and you'll probably end with two teams that don't have an in-conference win only because two of those three teams play each other this weekend. Mm. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest telling sign of it. Now, if we're talking about, and I'm talking about complete conferences, I'm not talking about top half of the conference is really heavy. I'm talking about a complete conference. Like you said, who is the best conference? Now, who has some of the best teams in the country, and what conference are they in? who has the best conference, and without a doubt, it is the Big 12.
Okay. I mean, I think that's a fair that's a fair statement. I won't lie. That's a fair statement. I mean, you know, they probably have more teams that are bowl eligible, you know, from top to bottom. I'm pretty sure the bottom teams in the Big 12 are better than the bottom teams in the SEC. I think that's fair to say. So let me.
I like to hear what Tex has to say about this.
Tex, you got any comments?
You know, let's just go ahead and move on.
Oh, man. Wait a minute. Let's just go ahead and move on. Oh, man, really? You don't have nothing to say?
No, I'm not going to analyze it like everybody else felt like they could analyze it. The man asked the question, who was the best conference? I said SEC. I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah, I got some analysis behind it, but it's fine. I just answered the question and then just let it go. Follow the show.
All right, let me put you on hold here. Let's go to the NFL. Right now, Monday Night Football, we saw the Chicago Bears versus the San Francisco 49ers. Chicago Bears got handed to by the San Francisco 49ers. So
they got killed.
They got killed. They did. So what does this say about the San Francisco 49ers? Are they, like, the best team in the NFC? Now, have they separated themselves? Well, I don't know. Maybe Atlanta still has something to say about that. But basically, do you still consider now San Francisco an elite team in the NFC? In the NFL, I should say. Let me start with you, Cali Mike. I know what you got to say. Let me start with you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it didn't take that win for me to know that. They've been an elite team. I mean,
okay.
look who they're beating this year. They're beating – you know, Green Bay, what Arizona, you know, I mean not Arizona, but Seattle, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they, you know, like I said, they, you know, they've been that. They shouldn't have that tie last week against St. Louis, but, you know, like I said, the Niners is, you know, that's a good team.
Okay. Let me start. Shottown.
Well, I mean, I'm still kind of, I mean, there's still some more to play. I mean, I got to give it to Mike and the 49ers. You know, they whooped us up pretty bad. But, I mean,
I knew that was going to happen. The Bears stink.
we do stink after that performance we had on Monday night. But, yeah, I mean, San Francisco, I mean, they're a high team. I mean, I think some people might say because of the record that they think the Falcons still might be the best. I'm not really too sold on Atlanta being the best team in the NFC. I think they can be beat. And shit, they struggled against the Cardinals this past Sunday, had to come back again. And you're supposed to be the best team in the NFC. At this point, you're struggling against a team you're supposed to be better. And it was at home. So I just really have to say, you know, San Francisco, of course, I got to hate this, but I have to be real with it. The Packers, you know, they are heart of a champion. They're a former champion, so they're playing pretty good ball. So you can't count them out either. I mean, pretty soon, people might have them as the best team in the NFC. But right now, you just got to take it week by week and see how everything goes. But those two teams right there, you can put them as top in the NFC.
Tex.
What's the question again?
About San Francisco. Did that game on Monday sort of signify that they're an elite NFL team?
I thought they were already. I didn't need to see them against Chicago. And I knew they'd hammer Chicago, but I didn't need to see that to have them as a top five team in the league. Now, that being said, there are no teams out there. There are no special teams out there. I don't know if I can look at any one team and say, hey, this is the best team. You know, Frisco beat Green Bay. They beat Seattle, blew Chicago out. The Giants went in there and really put it to them. The Packers blew Houston out. I mean, so it's kind of, you know, I don't know if there's a best team. I mean, we're doing it just because we're on the radio, and this is what we, I guess this is what we have to do, or that's what other people have to do. But they're an elite team, definitely. Best team, I don't know about that, but I'm saying that about any other team, but they are a top five team in my book. I just think it depends on the
top,
match.
Hold on. Who are your top five teams then? We're going to go to that. That's the next topic. Who are your top five teams, Tech?
My top five teams?
Yeah.
In no particular order, I'd have to say the Texans, the Niners, What'd you say?
The Texans, the Niners.
Okay, Texans, Niners, Broncos, Packers, and Falcons.
You wouldn't even put the New York Giants up in there?
They're top 10, but they're not. I don't think they're top 10. Just having too many issues right now, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And they're still a good team, but they're having, you know, I mean, it's just too many problems. Folks saying, you know, it's just all Eli, but the Giants, I mean, they're not even rushing the passer. I mean, when do the Giants not rush the passer? So, you know.
I guess they got a good challenge and a test for them on Sunday Night Football. Let's say this happens. They come out swinging and they beat the Packers. Then everybody's gonna get back on the Giants again. So I mean, one game can change everything, though, too. So and they're on the big stage on prime time Sunday night.
Shout out. Who are your top five teams?
I mean. In that particular order, you know, like I said, the show, you know, we got to do this to say it. But really, you know, right now, every team kind of has that issue or something because we really don't see yet who's that best team. Yeah, that's the team that can go ahead and do this and all that because every team has some issues. But you got to say the five. I mean, of course, you know, the Texans, they're playing pretty good ball. The Denver Broncos. San Francisco 49ers, and then the Green Bay Packers. I wouldn't count the Giants out either. I kind of agree with Tex. They kind of having some, you know, every team has some issues, but they kind of having some. And also injuries, too, you know. They've been kind of banged up, but, you know, it's long season, mid-time November. But, you know, around the time next month, that's when they make their roll. So we'll see what they do. But like I said, you know, if they come out and let's say they beat Green Bay on Sunday night, and everybody going to be talking about them again. So we'll see after Sunday night.
All right. Cali Mike, man, who do you think is your top five? Who's your top five teams?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I got Atlanta, Frisco, Pats, Houston, and Denver.
Okay.
I think, from what I've seen, you know, those are – you know, I would have Green Bay be like 5B, you know, just because they, you know, like I say, you know, they've shown they can do it all. But you know, right now those are the teams that I trust right now. I mean, you know, I would, you know, and like I mean, like you know, like the Giants. I mean, you know, best Clavel. They're on and off team. I mean, you can't. I would never count them out. But you know, it's like sometimes they look like Super Bowl champions, and next time they look like. You know, there might need to be a coaching change. You know what I mean? But that's how they are, though. That's the kind of team they are, you know. So.
Now, I will go far saying this. Although I don't think you can look at any team and say they are the best team, I'm looking at two teams to me that are dangerous going down the stretch, and that's San Francisco, and I think people better watch Denver.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco
and Denver. Denver is starting to look like it's starting to look like the Colts, except for you have more speed with Denver. You have you're a little bit more physical. They're starting to, I mean, you watch them play. They fly around. They hit. They really really come out. They fly off the edge. The pass rusher. The linebackers are, along with them 49ers, and the Panthers probably have the fastest linebacker core in the league. So, I mean, really watch for Denver. Really, really watch for them. And watch for the Niners, too.
Okay.
Remember, I had – Yeah, I mean, Denver, yeah, you're right. I agree with Denver.
Okay, now the Cowboys are 5-5. What do you think their chances are of making the playoffs? Do you think that's going to happen, or even them getting a wild card? We'll start with you, Tex.
I don't know about Dallas, man. You know, who knows? I mean, seriously, who knows? I mean, just the schedule is shaping up pretty nicely. Although I think they have to work at it to beat Washington tomorrow. I think they have an outside shot. I think they have a real shot at making the playoffs. But you know, they gotta suck this thing up come December. They gotta close out November strong. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't, but you know, they're the Cowboys right now. I mean, right now they're acting like the Cowboys. Like I was talking to my boy the other day. I said they broke back. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they stopped broke back, and yeah, they'll go to the playoffs.
Well, okay. Before I want to get to a call here. I want to get everybody's opinion on this. There's a call here that's been waiting for a while. I got to get him in here, this conversation. Wiley, what's your opinion on what we've just been talking about?
Well, I think that the way that you guys have been judging these are off their current records, but I judge them off their history. Like, for example, I wouldn't put the Falcons in the top five. Why? Because we know how they get to the playoffs and buckle every time. They can have a great season, and they get to the playoffs and buckle. One team I didn't hear anybody talking about in the NFC is the Saints. If the Saints make the playoffs, y'all better watch out, because they are going to be the upset team. They are playing with some kind of vigor right now. I don't know what they are hyped up on, but them boys are playing. Y'all had all these NFC. Y'all got all these NFC teams. You're talking about how great they are, but you're forgetting the Steelers and the Ravens. Yes, they have injuries, but when them boys come back, that's two of the best teams in the NFL. And I'm telling you, they will be there in the end. The Steelers have been there in four of the last seven Super Bowls. It's been the Steelers and the Giants. You can't count them teams out. They always show up in the end. So for me, my top five would be the 49ers, the Steelers, the Ravens. I'm going to go with Seattle. I know that sounds crazy, but them boys just keep showing up in the end. I'm going to go with Seattle. And my final one, I got to say the Saints. I got to say the Saints, because if they keep playing like they're playing, ain't nobody going to beat them. I want to go with Denver, but Denver going to get beat by the Ravens or the Steelers in the playoffs.
And these are your top five teams right now?
Top five teams. I'm not talking about records. I'm talking about teams.
Yeah,
I don't care what
their
records say. I'm telling you, when the playoffs comes, these are going to be the five top teams in the NFL.
All right.
We'll see what it comes down to.
He got credibility on what he was saying about those teams and stuff. The only thing, you know, Big Ben, you know, it's a big question. He's going to be out for a while, you know, with the injury with the ribs and everything, and, of course, the Ravens' injuries. Also, I came to mind, I forgot to say, the Broncos kind of got a big blow with Willis McGay. You know, he's going to be out for a while. So if they make it to, like they say a title game, that's when they say he might be back. So that was kind of a bad
blow
for the Broncos.
The Broncos are all Peyton Manning. And the AFC teams have figured out
how. Have you watched them? Have you watched them play?
Of course I've watched them. Do you watch football? What kind of question is that?
Yeah, they're not all Peyton Manning. If you watch them play, they're not all Peyton. What?
Okay, let Peyton Manning get hurt and tell me how many games Denver's going to win.
Well,
all right, I'm back here.
How many games are the Ravens or the Steelers going to win if their quarterback?
Okay, I agree, but what I said was when the Ravens and the Steelers get their lineups back, they are the best teams in the NFL. You lose Peyton Manning, and you're going to lose to Denver. And Denver is going to lose Peyton Manning when they play the Steelers and the Ravens.
The Steelers were having issues.
Eliminate.
The Steelers were having issues before Roethlisberger got hurt.
before Ray Lewis goes down for the Ravens, they're still having issues.
Okay, well, we'll see, all right? We don't have to argue it. We will know 3 weeks from now.
We'll know come January and February. And I'm the guy that says if you don't have an elite quarterback, you're not going to the Super Bowl.
And I'm the guy that says that if you figure out the elite quarterback, you can keep him from the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And everybody won't figure it out. All you got to do is play off on Peyton Manning, and you can pick him off.
Yeah. That's happened like twice in 1990.
Right, that'll go.
That'll fly over.
Let me ask this though.
The Broncos did beat the Steelers though, Tony.
We are going through injuries. We just got a running back back last night, this weekend.
But the Steelers were healthy when the Broncos beat the Steelers. They had everybody out there.
Their running back hasn't been
shut down. Shut down.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Let me put you all on hold here. Let me put you on hold, Wiley. I got another caller in here. All right. Let me 850-544.
All right, we're gonna go with top five teams here for the NFL. No particular order. I got the Ravens in there. I got the Texans in there. I have the Green Bay Packers, the 49ers. And I'm going to go with the New England Patriots. I think their offense is really clicking right now, regardless of, you know, who they have in, who they have out. They still have Tom Brady there at quarterback. So I'm going with the Patriots as my 15. In reference to – what was that?
No Atlanta?
No, not Atlanta. And it's not just because of the playoffs. I mean, during the season, they it's not like, you know, they significantly beat teams. I mean, they're having close games against the likes of the Raiders, the Panthers, and you saw Matt Ryan throwing five interceptions to the Arizona Cardinals. So
at home.
I mean, you're not seeing that type of consistency out of an elite, quote-unquote elite team like you should see out of the Atlanta Falcons. So that's why I'm not really buying them right now on top of that whole playoff thing. But that's why I'm not buying them right now. That's why I put, like, you know, the likes of the Packers or the Patriots over them.
Okay.
I definitely agree with him on that. Also, too, you've got to say the Patriots kind of got a blow, too. You know, Rob Gronkowski, he's going to be out, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. He broke his forearm. I don't know why the heck he was out there on that, you know what I'm saying, extra point. The game was already over with, you know. I don't know why you had him out there, but it is what it is. Could have been a whole lot worse.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk about the New York Jets here. What do you think their season looks forward towards in regards to their playoff chances? What do you think is going to happen there? Do you think they can make it?
Playoffs? You talking about the Jets? Playoffs? For the Jets, you got to take it week by week, my friend, about them.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
they're 4-6.
We don't hear they finally won, so we don't finally hear about the Tim Tebow thing. I know Jalen Rose was jabbing about, you know, Tim Tebow. You know, Tim Tebow still hasn't thrown a touchdown pass, but, hey, they won. Mark Sanchez, and they won, so, hey.
Mike, it might be
kind of a little bad, but we'll, you know, hey, that's, we probably hear it again, but I think the Patriots going to get them pretty good tomorrow.
Mike, was that your Jim Moore impersonation?
Yes, it was.
Playoffs? You talking about playoffs?
I didn't realize they were 4-6. What about the
like I say, they look, to me, they're looking forward to the offseason right now. What they're going to do in the offseason, they need to start planning the next season. Like I said, they're not even if they did start winning, they're not healthy enough to make a play. I mean, they're not healthy right now. You know, they got big holes in their offense. You know, they were trying to bite off more than they could chew. You know, at the beginning of this season. And, you know, even when they started making their, when they were going to AFC championships a couple of years ago, that was a older team, you know. And like I say, right now they got a lot of holes they got to fill. They had draft picks that didn't work out, you know. I can't even think of his name, old boy from Ohio State, you know, and cats like that. So,
you know, they're gonna have to really look at themselves in the off season and see where they want to go from this point on. You know, I know they just signed Mark Sanchez to a new contract extension, but I don't know if that can be amnestied or, you know, what kind of changes they're gonna make. But they definitely have a lot of changes that they're gonna need to be made.
They definitely need to draft. They need draft. I think, you know, a receiver too, because they don't have a one receiver. You know, maybe another, you know, playmaker or something. Maybe another.
I don't even know
if
they need to draft a receiver. They might need to trade. They might need to trade for a receiver or something, man. I mean, like I say, they should have. There was a lot of receivers. You got Vincent Jackson in the offseason. I mean, they should have been going after guys, man. I mean, I don't think bringing in a rookie wide receiver, you know, to me, there's not going to really, you know, there's only a couple of rookie wide receivers that are looking good this year anyway. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be, you know, your main, you know, what drafting wide receiver, unless you're looking for the future. I don't see how that's going to be, you know, an instant answer. I mean, you're gonna have guys, you know, I mean, I've heard, you know, like we said, Andre Johnson was, you know, they were talking about maybe him not being in Houston next season. I even read an article about Calvin Johnson maybe not being in Detroit. So, you know, if I'm the Jets, I'm looking for that. Yeah, it was on ESPN, I don't know if it was last week, a couple of weeks ago. But you know, I'm looking for them to, you know, look for changes like that. Maybe you might get a Larry Fitzgerald that doesn't want to be in Arizona no more, or a cat like that, you know. But I think drafting is gonna help.
They definitely have to give up definitely some draft picks or something. But also too, I was saying, you know, talking to a customer who's a Jet fan, he was saying, you know, I think out there they was talking about, of course, Tannenbaum. You know, some people might be out, or even Rex Ryan. I was like, you know, I don't think you can't put it on Rex Ryan. I guess he was saying you don't think he was tough enough, kind of a player's coach. But, I mean, Rex Ryan took the team to two AFC championships. And just since then, you know, they just haven't done well adding, you know, more.
I mean, you
got to
think. I'd have to know who's in control of personnel. I mean, whoever's in control of player personnel needs to be working there next year. Because, like I said, it has to be Tannenbaum then, because there were no change. Like I said, they didn't make any off-season changes to improve their team, and their draft is looking like garbage right now. Stephen Hill, you know, he's not going to become Calvin Johnson. You know,
they did draft that receiver Stephen Hill in the second round.
He was in the first round. You know,
he was first rounder.
Yeah, to me, he's not looking like he's going to pan out. He's dropping way too many passes, you know. So I don't,
that,
you know.
He dropped that big one against the Patriots, you know, when they could have won that game the first time, too. So, yeah, I forgot about that. So it is going to be interesting tomorrow because, I mean, really, the last time these two met, the Patriots really had a chance to win that game. Not at the Patriots, the Jets.
All right, let me put you on hold here, James, and let me switch the subject here. Roger Goodell said about last week or 2 weeks ago, the attendance for the league, the games for the league is gone down, and a lot of people think now it's because of HDTV. What's your opinion on that? Do you think there's some validity to what the commissioner had to say? Or what's factoring into the issue that is football losing its popularity in terms of I mean, what could cause, like, I guess the question I'm asking is it because people just would rather sit home and watch the game on TV, or is it the fact that football is starting to lose its popularity because Major League Baseball, you know, attendance is up at those games, whereas in professional football the attendance is down? I want to know what's your opinion on that. Tex, what you have to say about that?
Well, I think people are staying at home watching the game on HDTVs. Can't everybody get a PSL? You understand what I'm saying? So you stay home on your 47, your 50-inch HDTV with the 240 hertz, like I do, and you look at the game. You know, it's cheaper, and it's better. You know what I'm saying? It's just better. It looks better. You see everything. I don't think football is lacking in popularity among the masses, but it costs less to stay home and watch the game. It really does.
What's your opinion on that, Chatown?
I agree. I didn't hear about that part about, you know, why the attendance is down at football from the commissioner. That's something new to me. But I did hear about, you know, some teams that are struggling. Of course, we know of Jacksonville and Tampa Bay and some other team, I think the Raiders, you know, where it's not been, you know, fans coming to the games. Where, I mean, even the Dolphins, too, where, you know, fans are not coming and not doing well ticket-wise. Also, too, I was going to say, I kind of agree with Tex. I mean, it is cheaper to stay at home and watch the game because, you know, ticket prices are high. Also, too, you know, not everybody can afford to go to the games, you know, with the economy getting back, you know, we still kind of, it's better now than it was, you know, several years ago, but still some people can't afford to go to the games because of the prices. And, you know, better, you know, option is to, you know, watch it at home. And also, too, it's a good point. You can see everything with, you know, with technology now with the HD and all that. Like you at the game, you know. Now you don't have to be bothered at the game. You're watching on the TV. But I don't think football is losing its popularity. We all know football is still number one. We know that from the time the strike was last year. And everyone was all ready to get it back going, you know, one football. And we all know football overtook baseball years ago when baseball went on that strike. That's when baseball lost their lust when they went on strike. So it's always been. Football still is number one.
What you have to say, Callie, Mike?
I look at it like really, I look at it more as a cultural kind of thing. If you look at the way that the demographic in the country has shifted, I think that football, you're going to have a lot more minorities going to it. Baseball has always been a lot more, you know, traditionally, you know, that you have the majority of people going to, which is going to be white people. And as you look at, you know, the shift, now that you have more minorities that are, you know, and baseball has always been kind of more the highbrow thing where you're going to have a different economic class of people going to a baseball game as opposed to going to a football game. And like I said, as you look at that shift with the way the economy is right now, you got PSLs and you got to pay that and you have to get your season ticket on top of that. It's like how many people got 10 grand ready to shell out, you know, for a season of football? You know, so, you know, I can get the NFL ticket and, you know, and sit at my house and, you know, and get the same effect. And plus, you know, like I said, the ticket prices, you know, you got to, you know, like I said, you got to worry about a lot more people having kids now. Baseball games and football games be having a lot totally different atmospheres. You know, baseball stadiums on the average are, you know, a lot more, you know, kid-friendly. You know, there's a lot of different things to do there. You know, that usually they have a lot of, you know, little attractions and stuff. Football player, you're going to get a different kind of fan. So I really, you know, like I said, unless my kid's a football, you know, football fanatic, I wouldn't bring, you know, my three kids to a football game. I would, you know, before I would to a baseball game. So, you know, like I said, I can see that demographic shifting. And, you know, plus with the prices, it's just, you know, it's just getting out of hand. But, you know, I don't think that's doing anything but the popularity, though. Popularity of football is still going to be high.
Do you think, I don't know, I mean, do you think, like, with the emergence of maybe the black quarterback now, that may have something to do with it?
Oh, I mean, like I say, it's definitely cultural. I mean, just like basketball, you know, it's you know, basketball, you know, it started taking players like Michael Jordan who could be, you know, who could appeal to a different demographic, you know, what they call mainstream America, you know, because at one point, you know, basketball, you know, in the early 80s, you know, before the Bird Magic rivalry, you know, early and late 70s, it was, you know, it started losing its viewership because, you know, basically, you know, not a lot of people wanted to watch, you know, full teams full of, you know, men with color out there playing sports. But, you know, I think that has a lot to do with it. Like I say, it's a cultural, you know, a cultural shift has a lot to do with it. You're starting to see, you know, like I say, more minorities and, you know, unfortunately in this country, minorities usually make less money. And you're starting to see that, you know, affect with the, you know, double that with the economy, and you know, with ticket prices, you're gonna see a downsizing into the one of the games.
All right, I want to hear what the caller here has to say. Let me go, Watley here, 813.
I would have to agree with everyone on the panel so far in the thought that football is a luxury. And in the economy that we have right now, there's not a lot of room for luxury. I mean, even those of us who do well, luxury is something that we hold back on because you don't know when the next fall is going to come.
So instead of wasting or taking your less disposable, you know, take your disposable income, instead of going and spending it on a football game, you just keep it in your savings account because you don't know what's going to happen next. So, you know, it's one of those situations of where people that do have a little money holding on to it because they don't know what this economy is going to do. And then those who don't have it can't afford these new prices. I mean, the prices in these stadiums, when the stadium belongs to the city and the city tax dollars paid for the stadium, for them to be charging the prices they charge to go to these games is outrageous. And it's all greed from the owners. And, you know, I'm one of those because I literally live less than a mile and a half from Tampa Stadium right now. And I won't go to a game. Why? Because I'm not going to give all my money to them for one game. They are really getting ridiculous because there used to be a time in the NFL when it was fan-friendly. Now it ain't fan-friendly. It's all about the money. It's all about the greed. And, you know, when you stop making me your priority, then I'm going to stop giving you my money.
Even to they're not trying to reduce much, because I know out there it's not been too good with tickets, but fans haven't been filling up the stadiums out there, so you pretty much can get a bargain of a ticket to go to a game out
there. But they don't give you any incentive. Like, I live in Tampa. The Bucs games are always blocked, and people aren't going to the games. But what has the owner done to change our minds about going to a game? Has he even come on television and said, I'm offering the first 100 people in free, or I'm giving a discount, or I want you to come see my team? No, he's saying, screw you. Pay the thing or don't see the game.
That's pretty much the same situation we had here in Oakland. I mean, you know, I don't know. Tony, you guys, is that stadium new out there?
No,
it's not that new. It's been there a while.
Fair.
Okay, yeah.
Remember that stadium, the Raiders. 12 years ago, Mike.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. But, I mean, you know, everybody wants to upgrade the stadium. Now, the Raiders, you know, they're still playing at, you know, Oracle. And, you know, they're playing at the same stadium they've been at since I was a kid. You know? And it's kind of, you know, they've done renovations. But, you know, for your money, you know, it's like, let's do something new. And now you got to have teams. You know, Raiders are going to be moving out of Oakland, and Knights are going to be moving out of Frisco. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough because, if you do want to pay that money to go there. And, you know, plus, you know, like Tony said, it's not friendly, really. If you look at, I don't know about you guys, basketball out there, but up in Sacramento, you want to go to a Kings game, they're going to make a package for you and your family to go to the game. You can afford to go to the game. You know, Raiders, it's not going to be the same thing. Like I say, it just becomes too much after a while, you know, and it's just,
right.
You know, like you said, you know, people are, especially on something like that. I mean, if I got to choose between buying me a big screen TV and me some Raiders tickets, I got to go with the big screen TV because at least
exactly.
That's going to be around, you know, like Tony said,
yeah.
For one game, you know, maybe if it was a Super Bowl or something like that, but I ain't going to be spending, $400 on the one game. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So especially though, you can go to and get the same experience. So
they also was talking about too. I forgot to say they were talking about the Raiders might move back to LA again. It might be the team that
they've been in the same stadium, man. It's just, like I said, same stadium out here, you know, and it's just same situation in different, you know, same situation in different cities. I mean, Chicago just got a new stadium, right?
You talking about with the Bears?
They renovated Soldier Field. They renovated Soldier Field.
They just renovated and added, but, you know, it's better, but, you know, you used to hold
But
board,
that was still
teams.
All paid for by tax dollars. The owner of that team didn't pay for those things. But once all of a sudden you get all of the renovations and new stadiums, they start charging you more money to get in.
They're not the ones
who paid for that. We paid for that.
Because the city, they own that stadium. The McCaffrey, they don't own that stadium. It's the city.
Exactly. But the thing is, the owner says, oh, look at all this new stuff, so now I can charge you more. Look, you didn't pay for that. We paid for that.
Yeah. All right. Let me put you on hold here a while, and let me get James' opinion on this. 850.
All right, going on to this point about, you know, the NFL being better at home, it's pretty much, like, straightforward. It's a lot cheaper to watch the game at home than to be spending $20 to $25 for a parking spot, getting a nosebleed seat for about $50, and paying about $7 to $10 for a, what, 20-ounce Sprite, you know what I'm saying, on the side.
Exactly,
$10
for a hot dog.
Yeah, $10 for a hot dog.
$20, $30
for like,
food,
you know,
$40.
It's like they said, it's all corporate when it comes to the NFL. I mean, in Tampa, you got the Grazers caring more about Manchester United overseas than they do about the Tampa Bay Bucks. And to put one more point on top of that, I mean, it was pretty much pointed out on the column in ESPN. They pretty much said you take four people to a Cowboys game with hot dogs and Cokes and souvenirs, and they'll run you $635. You could be at home with an HD TV for $550 and get 84 beers. I mean, that pretty much tells it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Go with a DVD player, too. You can add with that, too. To add a little,
and you know,
DVD player online.
And plus, you know, like I said, plus you got to look at the stadium, too. I mean, Tex, what are the pluses of going to the new stadium as opposed to, you know, besides just the football game? What all stuff can you do there?
At the Cowboys' new stadium?
Yeah.
Well, they have a Victoria's Secret in there.
Yeah, I mean, don't they got a shopping mall and all sorts of, you know, if your stadium got that, you might want to, you know, like I said, you might want to go there because you can make an event out of it. But, you know, you can't, you know, you ain't just going to go, you know, okay, we're going to go sit in this old stadium and get beer dropped off from the seats above us. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I was saying, like, most of the fans there, I think, I forgot who said it. I don't know if it was Troy Aikman who said it or Moose Johnson. I think it would have been Troy. He said, I guess fans just go there just really to be sightseeing more than just going to the game there. It's more on sightseeing.
Yeah.
For Texas
County. Yeah, I mean, it's a sight to behold, you know.
Yeah, and the other quick point about the thing being corporate, yeah, that's pretty much about every, you know, stadium there is. I mean, everything got a corporate name to it right now. You can't name one stadium that doesn't have a corporate name tied to it almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is true.
I want to make an announcement. 49ers just said that they will start Colin Kirkpatrick over Alex Smith this Sunday. This is breaking news.
Wow.
Just want to put that out.
Did they say why?
I need to read the article more to see why, but
yeah, I'm gonna need to read that too because that is ridiculous.
I just
think at this point, you know, when you're trying to make a Super Bowl run, you don't bring in a guy that's only started one game. You know, like I say, I mean, Cal Kaepernick has all the skills. He has everything, you know, you want in a quarterback. But, you know, he's an off and on kind of guy. I mean, you have to watch him in the preseason. This isn't the first chance. I mean, he's had opportunities to win this starting role before, and there's a reason that he wasn't started. He's
mm-hmm.
done, you know, like I said, this happened before. You know, the job was open last season when he got there. You know, it was, when they still had Nate Davis and Josh Johnson on the roster. It was open, you know, and there's a reason he didn't win that job. So, you know, to me, you know, to do this, you know, after one game, I mean, unless Alex Smith is still having, you know, symptoms, which that could be, you know,
it's
in
not,
my opinion, that could be.
I read the article.
I mean,
it's not health related. It's not health related. So
it's not health related.
Isn't he the leading passer
in the NFL right now? Isn't he the leading in quarterback rating right now with like 103 or something like that? I mean,
hey, man, leader.
I'm
talking about quarterback. Well, I know he's up there, but you know, like I said, it's, you know, to me, you just don't make that kind of change on a team that you know you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. And then, you know, like I said, it's only happened. Well, you know, I told Tex the other day, it's only happened one time, and that was Tom Brady in the history of football that I know of, with a team that made a change like this and went on to win a Super Bowl.
And they had luck to do that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna put Watley, you're online now.
It says Harbaugh also says starting quarterback could change week to week once Smith is available, or he may switch quarterbacks during the game.
Watley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your opinion on Kirk?
I just, to me, it's way too late in the
season to be changing the chemistry of a team. To me, a team is a team, and especially this late, week 11, week 12, you have built that camaraderie with each other. You've learned each other. You understand each other. You know what each other are doing, and then you go and bring someone in that ain't been part of that. To me, that makes no sense.
And the worst thing, like I told Tex, to me, the worst thing is, what if Kaepernick does bad? Now you're going to try to switch back to a disgruntled Alex Smith for the rest of the season? It's not going to work. To me, you might as well tell Alex Smith that was his last start in San Francisco. He's gone after this year. Because how can you bring him back now?
And he's he has a one-year contract too, right? He signed a one-year deal again, right, Mike?
I think it was either one or two, but you can cut contracts now. Don't worry about it. So, but I mean,
I'm almost
willing to
bring
him back.
This has something to do with the coach. I'm thinking egos are colliding in that locker room, and the coach has made it very clear whose ego is bigger.
Yeah, he was never a fan of Alex Smith. Like I said, you know, you look at when they tried to go after Peyton Manning. You know, Alex Smith, you know, he wanted to be gone then. You know, so like I said, you know, unless you know, Kaepernick succeeds, which I hope he does, you know, if not, this season is a wrap. You know, because like I said, you can't, you know, Alex Smith ain't going to want to come back, you know, and especially next year. You know, what are you going to do with that, you know? So I think this is an ego move by the coach. This is Harbaugh. You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's biting off more than he can chew right now.
Right.
Also, it's going to create mutiny in the locker room, and I don't know if y'all heard it between Steve Young and Trent Dilfer saying this the wrong. I know Trent was going on saying, what is he doing? I mean, you did not do that. You know, I know they were playing sound bites of it after my Bears got whooped about the situation, saying about the quarterback thing, what is Harbaugh doing? I mean, Trent Dilfer said, you don't do it in San Francisco. You know the legendary success of quarterbacks you had there, San Francisco was not the place to do that.
I agree. And you know what? To be honest with you, I think it's the same thing going on with the Jets. The coach has let his ego get in. They brought in Tebow, and it just tore the chemistry up with that team. And I really believe that these egomaniacs are just destroying their own team because it's about team. It ain't about individuals.
I agree.
Well, it's like the old saying goes, everybody's favorite player is the backup quarterback, you know, until he actually becomes a starting quarterback, that is.
Right.
You know, but you look at every team, they always, well, if they just put in such and such, they'll do a hunt, you know, but it's like there's a reason he's a backup. They're not going to let Superman sit on the bench. You know, there's a reason for that.
Exactly. Also, I said this like a few weeks ago, and I kind of will say again since it's brought up, I don't think Rex Ryan wanted Tim Tebow. You know, I think that was up to ownership with Woody Johnson. I think Woody Johnson wanted Tim Tebow. Of course, he had to support it because, you know, he's the head coach, but I don't think Rex Ryan ever wanted Tim Tebow.
But I still think
it
did something to the chemistry of that team. Look at the Jets before Tim Tebow came. They went to the playoffs and to the championship game 2 years in a row. Then all of a sudden they can't win no games. Now the Tebow's there because now you don't have that chemistry together as a team.
That's true. I mean, I'm pretty sure Woody Johnson just wanted.
They were already getting jealous of Mark Sanchez when he did that magazine cover. You know, so now you bring in another superstar.
I know Broadway Joe was very critical in that move, saying what are the Jets doing. I mean, Tebow, he respect them, but the Jets did not need Tim Tebow. That's messing up the progression of Sanchez. He, you know, has faith in him. He think this is a critical year for Sanchez because this is his fourth year. You know, either he's gonna take it to that level or not. Then you bring Tebow in and all this. Now it's messing up his progression, which is probably.
I agree. Totally. It's ridiculous. I think that you have to be able to always project confidence throughout the entire team. And when you take the head of the offense away just because of your own ego, you are telling the rest of that team
1 minute remaining
that it ain't about them, it's about you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the owner just wanted to have a popularity contest. He wanted to get sell tickets, you know, get the attention on the Jets since the Giants won the Super Bowl. So, you know, it happens. It happens, and they're paying the price for it. But I think Tebow will get some playing time this season. I really do.
I think the Jets are already mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. That's why I think he might come in to then.
30 seconds. Tex, you got a comment to make? 25 seconds left.
I trust Harbaugh. Harbaugh made a seamless transition to the NFL coaching, had a 13-3 season, took his team to the championship game. I'm an upside guy. Can deliver the ball anywhere he wants to on the field. You have a new dimension with the run game. You have new creativity with the run game. So run with Colin Kaepernick. Vernon Davis is alive again. See where it goes. You know, roll the dice. See where it goes.
All right. Well,
valid point,
I think it's
but still, I wouldn't make that change this point in the season, though, saying that, though, man.
We're overrating. You make a change. You take calculated risk. You understand what I'm saying? This is not Green Bay switching quarterbacks. This is a run-oriented offense switching quarterbacks.
All right.
Interesting points in general. Yeah.
All right. We gotta stop here. This is the end of the show. We'll be here next week. Listen to our show on Blog Talk Radio, CMT Firestorm. We'll be here next week to discuss more football. Peace. Happy Thanksgiving.
Munch on that good old food and that turkey.
The galloping ghost, he could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys.